Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
School football, you would know something
right.
About that, right?
Yep, hell yeah, we play.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know there's a big bullseye on my chest, certainly. If people want to use that as incentive, so be it. I worked for Al Davis in 1998. That was pressure. I was 34 years old. I've dealt with pressure before. I really don't feel pressure. I love the excitement and the thrill of competing. And, I can't worry about things I can't control in that regard. But I know people will want to step on me and beat me. And that's just the way that this league is.
That is, of course, John Gruden, unmistakable voice of his, talking about taking over and coming back to the Raiders and the pressure of the job and how he doesn't feel it. Well, he's the head coach now, and his team is off to a good start in Gruden's return, year number two.
$10 million a year.
Yeah, for what, 10 years,
it's
right?
Nice, yeah, $100 million nice not to
deal.
Feel any pressure.
$100 million oh, deal.
Nice, yep.
So tell me, Zoe, you had a thought today about how this team has sort of gotten to this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big thing is it's he and Mayock, right? So Mayock has been a personnel guy before. He studied the league a lot. He does his done all those drafts.
By the way, it's his third year back. I made a mistake there.
And I think when you talk about becoming good and contending, it's not an instant impact there. You know, it's going to take time to build it your way, instill your program. Tear down Carr, break him down, build him up as a quarterback as you want him and how you want him to throw, because there was issues there at the beginning. So you try and forecast that out. Okay, maybe year three or four, we're going to be good. That's the year we're going to contend. Well, what would you be paying Khalil Mack by that point? And what would Khalil Mack look like 4 years from now and the rate that you would be paying him? Would that be smart football? Would that be smart football business? And the answer would probably be no. You'd love to have a player like Khalil Mack, but for the betterment of the Las Vegas Raiders, they got four quality young players instead of him and not at the money. So you freed yourself of the money. You lost one hell of a player. But in the grand scheme of things, and as you build it, you know, you got Trent Brown in there on the left side. So you built one of the better offensive lines here. They're trying to do it the right way, and they acquire good young players for the massive price of one. And maybe it's starting to pay off for them. You start to look at it a little bit. You know, they got some good receivers. They got a good tight end, a kid Waller. They got some players. Jacobs is part of the Mack deal. So this is what you do. You sit back after those trades. Like the whole Herschel Walker trade, what'd you get in return, right? Yeah. Scoreboard. Right now for the scoreboard for the Raiders, it looks pretty good. But Chicago Bears are 2-0. They're 2-0 because of their offensive Mitch Trubisky this year, right? Shootouts. They've been down big in games. They came back.
Well,
how many times you mentioned Khalil Mack? How many times how many times did we talk about Khalil Mack at the beginning of the year? I don't remember talking about him.
Doesn't mean he's not a great player, but right. I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
The position the Raiders were in, their team sucked. They could trade Khalil Mack, and they could then turn around and turn it into good young players through the draft. Right?
Yep.
That's what you're saying. that the picks netted them a return that they should be happy with and something they can build around.
Hey, that's a team at one time, too, that tried to inject AB into it and give them some pop in the passing game. So they have their eyes on some good talent, even though the talent's crazy, bat bleep crazy. Rangers got some players. Dangerous game. Very dangerous game. Still like the Pats big in this one.
Big?
Raiders read their clippings. They're the type, doing a football breakdown. I like that.
Do you want to know what Jim's biggest issue is? Love this. Jim, was it Jim that pointed it out yesterday?
What's that?
Gruden and his...
What's wrong with Gruden?
With the post game, you know, the reaction drill turn celebration.
Yeah.
He turned around and may have looked to where the camera was.
Oh, boy. He's an old TV guy. He knows what to look for.
No, he didn't.
Jim thinks he looked for the camera.
He did one this way. He did one this way and he went one out.
And the final one was right to the camera. Get his face right there at the end, right?
Jim thinks he was doing it for the cameras. Making sure that, well, not doing it for the cameras, but making sure he was facing the camera.
Listen, if the camera's going to be there, I'm going to do this anyways. But if the camera's going to be there, I'm going to make sure I get that shot.
Bingo. And they got the shot. They got the shot.
That guy manipulated them. He can manipulate stuff. He manipulated ESPN multiple times. He kept using Tennessee's coaching job, the University of Tennessee, as leverage. He knows what he's doing at all times.
So take this the next step here.
Okay.
You like what Mayock did in the Khalil Mack trade. Does that mean you have faith in him to build the team, him and Gruden, to build a program there?
Yeah, I do.
Be a real competitive team.
I do.
Because they do it with their quarterback, Derek Carr?
And I think he can, yeah.
Can they do it making stupid mistakes along the way like Antonio Brown?
No.
Because that was a horrific mistake by the Raiders.
Horrific mistake.
And a horrific mistake by the New England Patriots.
But I agree both, but we know that kid can play. They've circled a kid that can play and targeted him and wanted him. He can play. He's the best receiver in the league. They try to get him a weapon.
But, like, moving Khalil Mack, and then a year later you got Brown in there, and, like, do those timelines match up?
Are you playing Amari Cooper?
Yeah, are you playing for the here or, like, the here and now or later? So trading away Amari Cooper, who you talk about regularly, that guy can play.
Guy can play.
Okay, they trade away Cooper, they trade away Mack, which you say, okay, they're trading those guys away because they're going to sort of go through a rebuild here, and they want to get the draft picks and use them. You think they've done that successfully, whether it's Damon Arnett or it's Josh Jacobs, guys they've used as picks in the Khalil Mack trade. Where did Antonio Brown sort of fit into that? I don't really get that.
He didn't. That was just like a throw-in.
And Rod, it's just like, you know, I don't totally get what they're doing.
No, but that's what you get as you start developing your team. And you always take an outsider chance on one flyer. Like that risk. It's like the risk versus reward. Reward is so much bigger than the actual risk. Okay, you lost money on him. But man, if that guy played for you and it worked, you become a contender out there. If you look at the amount of stuff Chicago lost here, can you get a guy like Mack and be a decent linebacker, not Khalil Mack type player, and then have, you know, three more younger guys to help build around it instead of that one superstar player on defense?
Mack makes $23.5 million a year. Oh. Amari Cooper makes $20 million a year.
Oh. Which player would you rather have at the $20 million number?
Khalil Mack, always. Pass rushers, corners. Pass rushers, corners, and quarterbacks. Yes, those are the guys that I want at $20 million a year, not receivers.
Yeah, Mack's kind of unblockable when he's healthy. Yeah. I do like Cooper, though.
I do, too. It's nothing against the player.
Right.
It's just you asked me, what would you rather spend $20 million on, a guy who can rush the quarterback or a receiver?
Yeah.
Give me the pass rusher. Always. Every time. Not even a decision to make there. 617-779-0985. We're still taking the Celtics calls all day today. Kevin and Quincy has a Celtics thought for us. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, gentlemen. Yozo.
What's up?
You talked at the start of the show that last night's game looked like a summer ball game, but it was far worse than that. I played playground pickup basketball games in high school that I wanted to win. More than the Celtics seemed to want to win last night. And once again, turnovers. Turnovers killed them. Celtics won on field goal percentage. They won on three-point percentage. They won on rebounds. And they won on assists. Where they lost was on turnovers by a margin of 19-8. And not since Sultan and Wisbasco. That's 11 more than Miami.
Yeah,
each turnover cost each turnover was about a point, right? On average, it cost them a point.
Sure, yeah.
Four less turnovers would have won the game.
Yeah, and then it never stopped. It never got better. They turned the ball over a ton early, and they kept turning it over.
I can't believe they won the rebound battle last night. I checked the box score this morning, thought for sure that at least on the offensive rebounds, Miami would have slaughtered them. They didn't. It was the turnovers. He's absolutely right. And some of them, as the result of good defense, some of them just dumb. Just dumb. Jason Tatum turning the ball over a lot. Can't do that. You can't be the guy and turn the ball over. You can be the guy and have a bad shooting night. You can be the guy and not always be clutch. You can't be the guy and turn the ball over.
None of them will hesitate to bring the ball up when they get it too. Yeah, it's not like giving it to the true point guard. I'll handle the ball. I'll bring it. I'll dribble it up. No problem. I might take it full distance. Coast to coast, baby.
The state of NFL ratings.
Oh.
We'll tell you what's been going on in the NFL with their TV ratings, how the games have been viewed so far. And also, Zoe, have you noticed all the points being scored?
Yeah, I have.
Have you disliked it at all?
No.
We'll talk about it next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Sub. Consider them part of your benefits package.
This is the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Start the segment, so do you?
Hey, it's kind of cool. What kind of other noise we can make with like ambient noise, like stuff we have on our desk? Like,
all right, I think we did it. All right, I think it was good. The NFL's off to its highest scoring start ever.
Squirrel Day,
more
Squirrel
points
Austin.
And more touchdowns have been scored in the first 2 weeks of this season than any other season in NFL history. It's going to be a record breaker. So far this season, NFL teams have scored a combined 1,611 points. That smashes the previous record of 1,556 points scored in the first 2 weeks of 2012. Over 32 games, that works out to 1.7 points per game higher than the previous record. NFL teams have scored a combined 186 touchdowns this season. The previous record through 2 weeks, 174. So, Mike Florio writes, it appears that after this most unusual of off seasons with no preseason and limited time, NFL offenses are ahead of the defenses so far. I don't know that this is something we considered prior to the start of the season. We just sort of figured everybody would be a little behind.
Yeah, but see, normally when you're behind, like when you start camp and you go through that first scrimmage and all, it usually looks like the defense is ahead. Because in all honesty, you're just chasing a football. Offense needs more execution. You need smoother tempo, where defensively you can make up for another player's mistake. You can't do that on offense. So it's kind of odd without preseason, without OTAs, without quarterback camps, without a true mini camp, that you're able to function at a high level offensively this early in the year. Like look at the Falcons and how much they throw the ball over the field. We witnessed it live Sunday night. Russ Wilson threw 5 touchdowns to 5 different players. That doesn't happen. You know, we're seeing the Patriots offense morph into something different here with Cam Newton. So, I mean, for an early part of the year, and plus all the injuries, you're still putting up points.
So 35-30, and the Patriots were not the highest scoring game of the weekend with 65 points.
Hey, what's that say that Tyrod Taylor could go down, get the punctured lung, Habert's thrown in there, like, mm-hmm. with no work, and he lights up the world champion.
Well, like, so they scored 20 points.
I understand that, but they were up. The Kansas City had to win that game on the final play.
On field goals.
With a rookie against a rookie.
Harrison Butker, end of regulation and overtime field goals.
Yeah.
But I look at the Patriots-Seahawks game and I go, okay, there were 65 points scored in that game. Did that at all feel like it was a terrible game?
No.
No, it was a great game.
It's a great game.
I think there is this long-held belief that a bunch of points will automatically equal a watered-down bad product, and I don't think that's true.
Yeah,
I think Sunday night's a perfect example of it.
17-14 games suck to me. 16-13, I can't stand
it. Not necessarily.
Do you remember the Thursday night game?
You haven't seen a great 17-14 game in your life?
Oh, I have.
Of course you have.
I have when the Ravens were playing their defense, when the Patriots were winning games early in their dynasty, same way. That's how they were winning. I go back to that Thursday game that got moved from Mexico City to Kansas City where, you know, it was the Rams and the Chiefs. It was just a shoot. It was like 53-46. That was one of the best games I ever watched. Like, nobody could stop anybody, though.
Reading from Jay Busby at Yahoo Sports. On NFL ratings, how it's translated on television this year. Final ratings numbers for the NFL second week of 2020 are in. The news is marginally better for the NFL across the board. Initial ratings reports, which did lack numerous markets as well as out-of-home viewership, showed decreases in Sunday night football and also other broadcast windows. But once final totals came in, declines abated and in some cases vanished entirely.
Yeah, Monday Night Football exploded from this point last year. They were up 26% from this time last year.
The early window on Fox in week 2 saw 16.87 million. That's up 11% from a year ago. Oh. Thursday Night Football, Browns Bengals. I saw a decent amount of that game. I'm ashamed to admit it. But it saw a small viewership increase over 2019. They were up from 6.64 million to 6.68 million, even though this time around they had NBA and NHL games going on. So there's that. Also, Sunday early game, CBS, which was primarily Giants, Bears, or Broncos, Steelers, that saw some declines. That one did not do well for some reason, but it's not across the board.
Right.
ABC had a big increase. Is that what you were just talking about?
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday night.
26% increase.
26%, you said, yeah.
And you know who the Monday Nighter is next week?
And this story says based on final numbers, it was up 32%.
Yeah, and you got Chiefs-Ravens next Monday.
You'll have a big weekend of ratings this week. 425 Sundays, Cowboys-Seahawks.
Oh, good one.
Packers-Saints Sunday night.
Oh.
And then Chiefs-Ravens Monday night.
Oh.
So as someone said here, Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, he writes, critics of the NFL who claim that politics are forcing millions to tune out of NFL games may need to rethink their positions. Unless they wish to believe that fans disgusted with the NFL's turn towards social justice turned into the Thursday night game and then tuned out of the CBS early game and then turned into the Fox game and then turned into Sunday night and then tuned in again on Monday.
Yeah, we're not going to watch like national anthem, but we're going to watch a game.
The ratings drops are not there. And with Monday Night Football back on ABC, it's on both.
Oh, it is on ABC now.
Yeah, they're running it on both.
Oh, I watched it on ABC. On I'm watching on ESPN.
Not for every game, though, right? They're just running it sometimes on ABC.
Don't they have to do that for the double?
It wasn't a double this week.
It wasn't a double this week. But no.
It was just Vegas.
What about opening?
Did a lot of production around
the opening night. Yeah, Vegas looked pretty. Whew.
But they did well. They did a big increase by throwing it back on the network. Which, by the way, if the networks had a clue, which clearly they now are starting to, you're going to do better with an NFL game over a lot of other crap that you guys put on networks.
Yeah.
Network TV is dying a slow death.
Sure is.
And it's going to get a lot faster in the years.
You're almost like you're either watching live sports or you're going to your smart TV to look up series and watch those. That's like what we do in our house.
The most valuable things on the networks are your local news. Your local news and live sports.
Right. That's correct. You know, watching a game.
And the old setup was, the reason why the networks paid all this money to get NFL games and NBA games and everything else was that, and I know this was the case with CBS and the NFL, they wanted to promote their lineups. Mm-hmm. They wanted to promote their sitcoms and their, you know, NCIS dramas and whatever else they were running.
Right.
And they used the NFL as their vehicle to push viewership into the weeknights when they were running all these shows.
Gotcha.
Is anyone watching those anymore?
Yeah.
How do those shows do? Can they still use the NFL, or is the NFL just the attraction?
Good question.
Jim likes those shows.
Jim's weird.
Jim likes that stuff.
Jim's off the
kind of run out of those shows.
You've run out of those.
I started. Somebody told me to watch Tin Star on Amazon Prime.
Oh my god,
pretty good.
There's no more of what was the creepy crime show there with the sexual deviance. What was that show?
Oh, SVU. I never watched that one.
No. The one where they fly around on the plane.
Oh, Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
No, it's done.
That's a sick, twisted show.
Done.
That one.
Ended.
All over. You've seen every episode of it.
Would I like that?
Jim has seen every episode of that show.
Would I like that?
It's impressive.
So if you like it, you got 20 episodes a season for like 15 years to watch.
Yeah, I'm
that'll take you a while.
I can do that. You know what I started watching again?
I want to look up how many episodes Criminal Minds produced in their run. 324 episodes. And Jim has them all cataloged. He's seen them all.
That game catalog. In Vegas, the game in Vegas, got me watching Pawn Stars now. So the last couple of nights, I start tuning into Pawn Stars. Just because they're in Vegas.
It's just gotten so fake.
It has, but I like seeing some of the cool items brought in.
Yeah.
Like this guy had a original Mario Brothers, the first one, 1985. It's the only one in the world, I guess. And it's a case, and it has the seal on it that has not been, the tape seal that has not been opened. And it's in the case inside glass. The guy wanted $1 million for it. They estimated that $300,000 or up for one video game.
I could deal with the stuff that's brought in. They just have to lose all the skits, all the bits that they do. You know, guys in the shop.
Like Pickers. I like Pickers.
I love Pickers.
But it's all fake. It's just, it's all scripted.
Oh.
Even the picks are fake now.
Anybody's looking for a good gift for me? I want one of those restorable gas pumps with the bulb on top.
Oh, those are nice and cool, but they're expensive.
Put it in my corner of my house. I'd love it.
It's pricey.
You guys got money.
We got money?
Yeah, you guys buy it for me.
Celebrity net worth, Scott Zolak.
I'm going to price them out for you during the break. So.
Okay, we'll get some prices on that.
We'll find one cheaper than $3,000.
We'll get This Week in Show History next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We don't need roads.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, sure you do. Time for This Week in Show History. Once a week now. What do we got?
We have 4 items from This Week in Show History.
Shut up. 4?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Big
load. So this week of September back in 2015, We had a caller into the program. Big fan of Drew Bledsoe, so much so that he had an ode to Drew Bledsoe.
Brady's giving you all he has, and it's great. And there's another performance he did yesterday. It's incredible what this guy is doing. The greatest quarterback ever, ever. And so, you know that song you just kind of compared with Edelman and everything I do for Brady?
Yeah.
I got one, but it's going to go back to 15 years. I mean, if Drew Bledsoe didn't get hurt, then where would we be today? I got this. Here's my version. You guys ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Everything I do, I do it for Drew.
Sometimes I really hate this job. right there was that one of those moments.
I'm not laughing at the song. I'm laughing at those. I was laughing at your disgust.
Like the buildup for it. Like, yeah. I've been working on this all morning, guys. It's a tribute. And it goes back 50. Here's the backstory on it. I'm going to give you the whole thing right now. Here we go.
He's a bartender.
You ready?
He's a bartender.
Everything I do, I do it for Drew.
He's a bartender.
Zoe was so mad. It was hysterical how pissed off Zoe was at that song. Brian Adams? Who sang that song?
No, no, no. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I believe you can get it on the, was it on the Robin Hood soundtrack?
Yes. Yeah. The Kevin Costner Robin Hood.
Kevin Costner, yeah.
What another miscast tool.
All right. Moving on. 2016, 4 years ago. Zoe had what we call a Ron Burgundy moment.
Oh, easy apples. Happy hour, so you can maybe get a little cocktail. Some hors d'oeuvres. Oh, that's hors d'oeuvres. Those would be snacks. I'm Ron Burgundy. I read what's put in front of me. So,
hors d'oeuvres.
There's no H in the writing.
Oh, they
one of our
the
morons
of
that, that writes the reads. Yes, or H O O R.
But you caught it right away, so I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, I got it. That means hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah,
hors d'oeuvres.
We've all been guilty. It's happened all.
Yeah, we've all done it.
It's not even. It's
Everyone's
not even
eat.
Guilt. It's like we've all made mistakes. Yeah. It's fine.
Oh, have
it's
you?
Fine.
Do you know what my really bad one has been in the past? When there's a word that's like cut at the end of a line.
Yeah.
You know, and you sort of.
Have, oh yeah.
You got to fill
hyphen
it in. Yeah.
And you're like, I stumble all over it.
Yeah. Call to action.
That's my all timer.
Oh my god.
Make it fun. Make it personal. Make it about you.
Make it about you.
That's what you do when you go to.
Never mind.
2017, 3 years ago, must have been one of our animal chats.
Oh,
we were talking about.
Sure, yeah.
Zoe was talking about a certain forest animal. I guess river animal, really. Rivers, forest.
River animal?
Yeah, river animal.
You really got to peel the skin off that beaver tail. And then you get. It's a part of it's edible.
Which part is edible of the beaver?
The tail. Beaver's not very good meat.
So the tail is what
you burn. You got to burn.
So that flat,
yeah, that flat, nasty looking like paddle.
It's gross.
Yeah,
really.
It's high in protein. Very high in protein.
So you can eat the little paddle.
The paddle. You got to tear the. You got to burn that outside skin off, and then you can eat the inside of it.
Well, it looks really hard.
It's hard, but it's good protein for you.
Beaver talk.
Do we have to say much more
it's
other than what
meaty.
That said?
Nope. It's not even meaty. Nope. It's like gelatinous. It's
and you know because you've eaten it.
Nah, I watch those shows.
Oh, you watch those shows.
This is the one that we've all been
Western Pennsylvania hunting squirrel.
This is one of the more.
We've had roadkill. Hardy.
It's all right.
We've actually, in our area, have had roadkill feasts.
Of course you have.
So whatever animal you find dead on the road, as long as it hasn't been there, there's maggots
sure.
You know, and stuff.
Yeah, you
fresh
know.
Kill.
Right.
Find it, you bring it.
Maggot. Fresh.
That's how you make scrapple, really.
A fresh kill raccoon.
You cut up gross. All the meats of the animals, and you put them in a big pot
you've
with water.
You've never eaten that.
It's called scrapple.
Yeah,
I have eaten
you've
it.
Never eaten roadkill stew.
No, I have not.
Okay.
But I've eaten scrapple, and scrapple's the same thing, but it's gelatinized. It's cold. Then they fry it on a pan. Scrapple's like bacon almost, yeah.
So it's like not ground beef. It's ground roadkill.
It's like Spam, yeah. It's awful. Ugh. Go ahead, Hardy.
This is one of the more infamous moments in Sports Hub history.
It is?
It is one of the more infamous, dare I say, crimes that took place. Was it a crime? Was it a simple act of loss and recovery? We don't know, but one of the participants, one of the actors, bad or not, called into the program.
Oh,
we call
no.
him the Banner Bandit.
We got a Louis and Malden on the line. Is this the Louis and Malden?
No. Yeah, I wanted to talk about you making fun of the banner.
Go ahead.
Well, you're making fun of hard-working people, you know? It fell off the truck, and they had to cross three lanes of traffic to get it. And they just wanted a little something for the effort, you know?
Something for what effort?
They had to run across three lanes of traffic to get the banner. And they took the trouble to call Fenway Park.
Heroes.
You know, you guys are mocking it, but I mean, they deserve something for their effort.
This can't be real.
Louis, you're not the Louis that got the banner, are you?
Of course not.
I'm not saying my last name on the air.
I didn't ask you for your last name.
Louis, if you're doing
the
right thing,
it's too sedated, Louis.
And you do, in fact, just find something that doesn't belong to you, the right thing is to just give it back to the person and not expect anything in return. That I think most people would agree is the right thing.
That's what he said on the air. You know, he said it on the air. He wasn't expecting nothing.
You wanted something in return. The original story is you want something in return. You wanted
reciprocation.
Well, look, he thought that was the right thing to do. No, I mean,
Louis
made the effort.
Louis, you disappointed you didn't get anything?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Louis, take care.
See you, bud.
That story got less fun. It got weird after it. Every time you saw a video or talked to one, it's like, oh, this isn't the...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.